Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're here to continue our series of That One Play, and we're talking about one of the really cool, iconic plays from Raven's history tonight. They're not all iconic. Some of them are mean something else to somebody, but this one is truly iconic. Chris McAllister's 108-yard, it ended up being 107-yard, field goal return in 2002. Here to talk with me about it is Adam Minikowski. Adam, how are you doing?
Good, Ken. How are you doing?
It was a pleasure. We've had you on before for 25 years episodes, at least I think twice, right? Before?
I think a couple times, yeah.
Okay. Fantastic. And you selected this play, so it means something special to you. Do you want to kind of set the stage for what was going on going into this game, or do you want me to do it?
I can set the stage in terms of the Ravens. It was this was the rebuilding year, so they had cut everybody during the previous offseason, and we're going with a bunch of rookies, draftees, and draft picks. The draft picks and the undrafted free agents. So, and the Broncos, on the other hand, were one of the top teams in the league. So, going into this Monday night game, Ravens were 0-2, Broncos were 3-0, and heavy favorite. And it was just everybody agreed that the Ravens were going to get crushed in this game.
Yeah, the even the lead in on Monday Night Football didn't really give the Ravens much of a chance to win this game. They'd you said the purge had just gone on. They started Chris Redman to start the season. He was still in. He was still the quarterback in this third week. That would not last for the whole year.
Nope.
But he was still the guy entering week three here. The Ravens had a remarkably deep defensive line in 2001, one of the deepest in NFL history, and they lost basically the whole thing. Yep. With the exception of Michael McCrary, who was still around, and he might have been hurt at this point. But Anthony Weaver was added. They still had Kelly Gregg. They still had Adelis Thomas, who was a great addition. And the main centerpiece, of course, the defense they kept was Ray Lewis, and they added Ed Reed to that in 2002.
Yep. So I guess you keep talking about the personal reasons why people choose these plays. For me at that point, it was not a great period of my life. I am away at grad school in Syracuse, away from friends and family, where Ravens football was sort of like the one bright spot in the weeks that I could look forward to. And I had a particularly bad day that day, long day, running out for pizza before the game. I have to deal with a flat tire on my car, and it's just been a really bad day. And now I get to go watch the Ravens get crushed on Monday Night Football. And so I am just not looking forward to this. But
now, I'm also a Syracuse guy. That's where I went to school. And I'm just wondering where you went. Did you go to a bar in the campus area to watch the game?
No, this is just in my apartment.
Okay.
It was Monday Night Football, so I would be able to watch it on network TV. And then all of a sudden the Ravens come out and they dominate pretty much the entire first half. Ed Reed blocks a punt. Catches a couple of touchdowns. So let's see. And I guess what was the We dominate the first half, and it's
24-3 at the time. They were trying to close it to 18 points, but just a little bit more about the things you've unpacked so far. So really a coming out party for Todd Heap in this game. This was his first really big game as a Raven. And he already had a couple catches. Maybe it looked like Redman could be okay at this point. He obviously was a bridge quarterback to some, and other people really had hopes that he would be the next Louisville quarterback that would be great in Baltimore before the next great Louisville quarterback.
Yes. Yeah, I remember. Johnny Unitas was always a big fan of Redmond's, based on the also coming from Louisville, and so it was that little hope that maybe he would be the guy, but. Unfortunately, that wasn't to be.
All right. So 24-3. Denver sets up for this field goal.
Yep. And Denver's going to try a field goal at the end of the half. I think there's like 1 second left on the clock. And it's a long one. It's 57 yards. It was going to be a 57-yard attempt. And they send Chris McAllister back to the end zone. And as it turns out, the field goal attempt is short. McAllister fields it and then just really nonchalantly starts to walk towards the goal line. And like he's just going to down it and not do anything. And then, and basically that was, giving Denver, fake them out a little bit and give the Ravens time to set up their blocks. And, as soon as they're all set, he just takes off, towards the sideline. And, Ray Lewis throws this, great block on the lead, Bronco. And, Chris, runs all the way down on the sideline and, scores a touchdown. And now it is 31-3, and it's kind of like a, you know, we've shocked the world kind of moment for the Ravens.
Yeah, they held on to win the game, which it was a lot closer than it needed to be. I think 34-23 it ended up as or thereabouts. But anyway, McAllister's run back was special in a couple of different ways. First of all, he was really high stepping it as he got down the Cadillacing it his way into the end zone. Again, the half was over, so there's no point in being cute about it, frankly. Right. But Ray Lewis's block, all I can say is I'm glad they caught that on camera. That Absolutely. Was the most impressive block you will ever see. I think it was legal in terms of everything. I'm not 100% sure of that, but it was absolutely a ridiculously de-cleating block. Yes. It's almost no hit he's ever put on defense, I think, has been any harder.
No, I don't think so. And you're right. I kept talking about it, like de-cleating the guy. And I keep watching it. And, he catches the guy in the front. It's not from the side. It's not from the back. It's just right up front. I, you know, can't see how you would throw a flag on that and then or now. So, and it's a great and, you know, awesome that they had the camera angles that they could show him running back and, he's motioning to McAllister, like, come on this way. We're ready. And then as soon as he's done that, then he just.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Just gets up a full head of steam and just clocks the guy.
And he did not miss. It was just as he was turning, and that was as direct a hit as you want. And I say this because on a Sunday game where you don't have as many cameras going on as on Monday Night Football is a lot more on field overhead cams and all that. On a Sunday day game, you might have missed that play. In fact, this year there was a big play that got missed. In real time was DeSean Jackson lollygagging downfield at the end of the half and not getting back to the line of scrimmage to get back on sides, right. Which cost the Ravens a field goal attempt at the end of the half. That was likely going to be missed. It was, I think, 61 yards, somewhere in that vicinity it would have been, but at least they would have had a chance to try it. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of thing. There's no camera angle, as far as I'm aware, that picked that up. And there was certainly no camera angle that actually showed on the broadcast, which picked it up. If you had the truck, in your living room, which, by the way, we got to be getting close to that point, guys. Don't we need to have basically every possible camera they've got and us the ability to go between them?
Shouldn't be
far off.
Right. No, absolutely. Although it's funny. I think even with all the camera angles, when you watch that game on TV, real time, you didn't see the whole play real time because they showed the kick going and falling short, and then I think they cut to the kicker, mm-hmm. and you saw a little bit that the The kicker was kind of looking down, but then also looking downfield to see what's going on. And by the time they actually cut back to the action, McAllister was getting close to midfield, I think. The camera actually went away. And now again, they had all the other cameras there so they could go back and say like, okay, here's what actually happened. And, mm-hmm. Show them coming out of the, sort of walking a little bit out of the end zone and then turning on the jets and heading down the sideline. And then, and then go back at the angle on Ray and show his hit. And the other one, the other angle I love is they have him, McAllister, coming down the sideline and he's running in front of the Ravens bench. And right behind him on the sideline is Billick trying to run down the sideline, keeping up with him. Just like you see him mouthing, go, go, go. So that was, just lots of great memorable scenes from that one play.
Yeah, just a fantastic play. And, they came back. They knew it was historic right away. And Al Michaels, I think, it was said that they were going to check during halftime, but they thought it was the longest play in NFL history at 108 yards, if that would stand, and they're going to review it, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But as it turns out, there's been several 108s since, and there might have been a 109 since on a field goal return. Mm-hmm. The play was certainly very, very special in real time. Now, talk a little bit about the aftermath, maybe for the 2002 Ravens and what this meant.
Well, I can't find this game in full out there anywhere. So I just watched the Sports Center recap of it, and I'm trying to remember what the said there. It was they went from rebuilding to respectable. And that's kind of how the season played out. I think, definitely weren't world beaters that season, but I think we came close. I think we finished that season 7-9.
Yeah. And they were right in it to the last week of the season, I believe, that they had to win and have seven other things happen or six other things happen. Actually, I'm maybe thinking of 2004 because they kind of run together a little bit, but mm-hmm. their loss against the Browns in the next last week of the season, right, which came on that last minute drive, kind of knocked them out of the playoffs. The other thing that knocked them out of the playoffs was losing Ray Lewis the very next week. So I will say this, Ray Lewis in that two game stretch had perhaps the two greatest consecutive games he's ever had. In the third and fourth week of 2002, he's unbelievably dominant. In fact, the play he got knocked out on, he forced a fumble that effectively won the next game against the Browns. So forced or recovered, I don't remember exactly, but he got also hurt his shoulder and then was out for a period of time. Mm-hmm. But what a remarkable two game stretch there. He did try and come back later on the season, but basically he was a cheerleader and from the sidelines the rest of the year. And Ray really knew how to be around hurt and encourage that young team, because it was a very young and immediately became a very dominant team the next year in terms of, mm-hmm. of what that defense could do.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I guess the other thing that was funny, and I didn't note it at the time because who knew who Ed Reed was at the time, but he had a blocked punt in the first half of that game and then comes back in the second half. And I think he has an interception, and I was wondering, like, was that our first glimpse of Ed Reed? 'Cause that was his rookie season. And I don't remember what he did in the first couple of games. But started getting his stats piled up that night.
Yeah. It was the only punt block of his career that he did not personally return for a touchdown. All three of the other ones he picked up and ran them in. Mm-hmm. Arizona, Tennessee, and Seattle. So all during that 2 year period, but that was really something. So it's just a great game, wonderful night. I remember it being kind of a warm night being there. It was let me see if I can find the weather on that game at the time, but it was 71 degrees at game time.
Okay.
So beautiful Monday night.
I was in
game.
Syracuse, so it was a little colder.
Yeah, no doubt. And wetter, too. Man, Syracuse is a horrible, wet city. Oh, but anyway, Adam, really appreciate having you on to talk about this. Anything else before we close it out here?
I think that's all I got.
All right. Just a wonderful memory, and really appreciate you kind of taking us through it from your perspective as well. Sure. Other folks out there, if you'd like to do a film study short on that one play, please hit me up with a DM. They're always open. Lots of good ideas coming in today. Additionally, we have not yet aired the first of these episodes, so that's always gratifying. This will air, you know, maybe a week from now or something. So we're recording this on the 6th of February. It'll probably be the middle of next week, about the 13th, before this shows. But Adam, great stuff. And I think relatable to anyone who was there. And if you weren't there, these are the moments in Raven's history that we remember very fondly. And we're going to try and go through these one at a time and really talk about why they were so important to us. And I really appreciate you doing that with us, Adam.
Sure. Thanks for having me on.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.